Professor Chomsky, thank you for being with us today. Let's start this conversation with some aspects of your background. How do you define your political ideology?
I was spending a lot of my time in secondhand bookstores in downtown New York. There were a lot of emigres, many of them from the Spanish Revolution. I met Spanish anarchists who I was particularly interested in. I spent time at the anarchist offices and just picked up a general left political education and sort of went on from there. My main interests actually through the 1940s were what is now called anti-Zionism. Then it was called Zionism. It's support for working for a Jewish Arab working class cooperation in a binational state as opposed to a Jewish state.
Professor, let's talk about the U.S. domestic policy. How do you evaluate the Obama administration to this moment?
If you peel away the rhetoric, he's a familiar centrist Democrat. He won office primarily because of the powerful support of the financial institutions, which preferred him to McCain, and they play an overwhelming role in the economy now. He did energize lots of people, particularly young people, but others too, who perceived him as something quite different and are disillusioned when they see him returning to sort of mainstream center-right Democratic policies. But I don't see anything surprising in that. As far as his foreign policy is concerned, for example, he delivers impassioned rhetoric about ridding the world of nuclear weapons. At the same time, his policies are undermining that and persisting in traditional stance. Most important is the Middle East nuclear weapons-free zone. Now, that's the Western powers actually agreed to that, including the U.S. in 1995 at the nuclear weapons. There's a regular five-year review conference, one going on right now. In order to induce the non-aligned countries to accept the non-proliferation treaty, the U.S. agreed to, and its allies, to have a nuclear weapons-free zone established in the Middle East. Well, of course, it never happened. It's now right on the top of the agenda. The non-aligned countries, led by Egypt, it's their spokesman, are calling for establishing a nuclear weapons-free zone. Well, if that were done, it would certainly reduce the tensions in the area and might eliminate the major ones. And the U.S., there's so much pressure that the United States, Obama has formally agreed, but with a proviso that Israel's excluded. Well, of course, that kills it. The way they say it is, yes, of course, we want it, but it has to be, it has to follow a comprehensive peace settlement. Well, it's another story, but there is overwhelming international agreement, virtually universal, on the shape of a peace settlement, two-state settlement on the international border, some minor mutual modifications and so on. Everyone in the world agrees to that. I mean, the Arab states, the Organization of Islamic States, Iran, Hamas, Europe, Latin America. But the U.S. and Israel have been blocking it for 35 years and still are. So there won't be a comprehensive peace settlement. Therefore, there won't be a nuclear weapons-free zone. And domestically, he's kind of softening the edges somewhat, but he's essentially working in the interests of the financial institutions that pretty much put him into power. It's the same with healthcare. I mean, there's a lot of concern about the deficit now. All kind of talk about the deficit, we've got to get rid of the deficit. Actually, that's misplaced. I mean, there ought to be a deficit during a recession, but put that aside. What's the problem of the deficit? Well, it turns out that about half the deficit is due to military spending, which is increasing under Obama. U.S. military spending is approximately the same as the rest of the world combined. So it's, way out of line with any other country. technologically far more advanced. It's going to expand and so on. So that's about half the deficit. About the other half of the deficit, pretty much, is the exploding medical costs. Now, the medical costs in the United States are about twice as high per capita as other industrial countries. And the outcomes are not good among the industrial countries. They're toward the bottom. So it's and there's a reason for it. It's the only unregulated privatized system. Now, Obama's reforms modified it slightly, but they basically left it intact.
How do you feel about the role of the U.S. media in treating the issues related to the federal government and the Obama administration?
There's a fringe of critics, but not much. And it's not a great surprise either. After all, the media are just major corporations. And even National Public Radio, the one that's supposed to be more free and independent, is pretty much the same. And this is the framework of the intellectual culture, which doesn't deviate from it much. So when you listen to National Public Radio, they say you got to cut Social Security and you have to cut medical care. That's the framework of discussion. And it's the same on international affairs. But the overwhelming thrust of the media coverage on nuclear issues is that the great problem is Iran. That's what Obama said too. So Saudi Arabia, for example, the main U.S. ally, is far more repressive internally than Iran. Iran hasn't invaded anyone for probably 200 years, except under the Shah, backed by the United States, when it did conquer two Arab islands in the Gulf. Why the U.S. regards Iran as such a huge threat to the world, the answers are quite simple, and they're stated. One is that it's trying to extend its influence. That's called aggression. So it's trying to extend its influence to neighboring countries. In other words, if Iran tries to extend its influence to Iraq and Afghanistan, which are its neighbors, with which it has lots of links, that's aggression. It's destabilizing. On the other hand, if the U.S. invades those two countries halfway around the world, that's stabilizing. Well, you know, that's the picture that's taken automatically by media reporters and commentators.
Professor Chomsky, thank you very much for your time and your words.